Good morning. Wow, nice to see a full church. If you could stand, that'd be wonderful. Thanks.
We're the circle of God's people, arms held outstretched. Come join and be part of the song, one voice, one hope. We're part of the new creation, God's plan for peace. Welcoming in the last and least, the circle's open. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild a unity. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild a unity. Together joined to spread the joy God's people share of the good news. God is here, God's the same. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild our unity. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild our unity. We're the circle of God's people, arms held outstretched. Come join and be part of the song, one voice, one hope.
I'll be leader, you can be people.
Thanks.
We are God's church.
We come together to worship.
He has given us His word.
We come together to learn from Him.
He has called us into His family.
We come together to share our lives.
He has given us His Spirit.
We come together to celebrate.
He has showered us with His riches.
We go out to share His goodness with others.
We are God's church.
We come together to worship.
Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you
Good morning. It's great to see everybody here today. Start of a new season. The excitement is awesome. I'd like to start off with announcements. We have a couple of prayer requests. One's in the bulletin. Okay, I'll try that again. Good morning, everyone. I'll start with announcements. We have a couple of prayer requests. One is in the bulletin. Jacob Dick and the family are asking for your prayer support at this time. Olga has had a massive stroke and is currently in Concordia Hospital. Also from the Klassen family, please pray for Anne and Jake Klassen as Anne waits for her bed in a personal care home. Pray that she gets a bed in Bethania and that the adjustments will be smooth. Pray for Jake as well as he adjusts to this change. That's from the Klassen family. More into announcements. Number four, just a note that several of our caregivers' terms are ending in January and they're seeking members for this important aspect of our ministry. Number six, the NKMC choir will be singing Thanksgiving service, so if you want to participate, there's the times to tell you how to fit in on that. There's a worship leaders workshop coming in a couple of weeks. And this one twigged my fancy. It was number 11, Camp Assiniboia is having a square dance and pie spectacular. Just something about pie and spectacular that just really I liked. Are there any other announcements? And actually, we can tie announcements and any sharing that you want to do at this time.
I just have a couple of things. On a prayer request note, my uncle, Norman Rotenberger from Morden, is in the hospital awaiting quadruple, or they think maybe quintuple, if that's the way you say it, bypass surgery, open heart surgery. So visited with him last night. He's in good spirits, heart strong. It's just he's got some severe blockages that needs to get taken care of. In the same family, his daughter-in-law, my cousin's wife, is having a hysterectomy next Thursday night. So Patty needs prayer support as well. On a more positive note, on Tuesday, my granddaughter is bringing my son and her mother to Winnipeg for a great occasion. On Saturday, they are getting married. So please keep them in your prayers as we work through preparations. I know Oma is really looking forward to having a little baby Wren in town. So thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Oh.
Check out the wiring. Yeah. I would just like to draw your attention to number five in the bulletin, the Kids Club. I know that there's lots more kids here today, I'm thinking. And the Kids Club is starting not this tomorrow, but the week following, Monday. All kids in grade 1 to 6, so if you know anyone who fits in that age group, they are welcome to attend. And we do have some volunteers, but one or two extra would be very great this year, because I think we're going to have an active group. A bunch of older girls graduated out, and they are going to be replaced by a bunch of younger boys. So it's going to be a slightly different dynamic, I think, this year. But so, yes, Kids Club, the 17th Monday, everybody is welcome who fits that age group. But everybody is also welcome to volunteer who is not in grade 1 to 6. So, yes, talk to me.
I'm Nita Klein. On Tuesday, September 11th afternoon at 2 p.m. is a meeting of Bethania Ladies Auxiliary and Bethania Tijos to plan for the Thanksgiving program. We need badly help from you younger ladies. There are about 6 meetings a year, and we serve at the fundraiser for the Chaplaincy Fund, Spring Tea and Thanksgiving. I am sure we love to place our loved ones in Tibetania home. So let's help to improve their life there too. That is the goal of the Ladies Auxiliary. Would you please think about it and join us? From our church, we are four ladies, Frida Vogt, Adina Wall, Elsa Brown, and myself. If you need more information, you can ask us. We badly need your help. Thank you.
Hi, I just want to reiterate number six. If you're like me, you don't exactly know when September 16th is. That's next Sunday. So come for choir at 9:30 on to next Sunday, and we're also inviting children age 10 and up. So.
Is there anybody else that would like to share or announce? Very good. We will now move into our dedication of children and youth workers.
You got another mic to Well, on this Sunday, we kind of restart a church year in which we do the Sunday school, and we're thinking about clubs. There's all kinds of things starting again, and we're eager and excited to learn and work together. So, this morning we want to take note of the people who have agreed to serve here in working with children and youth. So I'm going to ask you, if you're here, to come forward. I think that seems to me like the thing to do, to ask you to come up here, and we'll go through our dedicatory prayer together. Are you willing to do that? I'm asking. I don't want to command.
Be voluntold.
There is a part in here for you as teachers to read together. So I'm trusting that you have at least enough papers to pass around. Excellent. Well, folks, are we not thankful for these people who are willing to work with our children and youth? We're grateful. Thank you so much. This litany that we have is a prayer. It's a prayer that we're all going to participate in, a leader part, a teacher part, a congregation, and all of us. This will be our prayer together. We pray. God of creation, you have gifted these men and women with teaching skills, creativity, and curiosity. We pray you would fill them with the power and compassion of your Holy Spirit. Fill them with energy and insight into your word, the story of your faithful heart. We commit ourselves, each to our part in this joyful task. May your steadfast, faithful, covenant love guide all we do. Amen.
It's time for kids' stories, so if you want to come up front, that'd be awesome. Good morning. Welcome. I'm not very good at this, but that's okay. Maybe I'll just hold it today. I've been fiddling with this all morning. Good morning. Did you all have a good summer? Did everyone get a piece of the puzzle? Awesome. We are all excited to see you. I've been here a lot of Sundays this summer, And I have missed seeing you, and I'm pretty sure all the people that have been here in the summer have missed seeing you. But you were having lots of fun, right? Worshiping God in nature. That's awesome. So today, we are all going to be talking a lot about how we fit together. You all got a piece of a puzzle from me. Is this a lot of fun, one piece of a puzzle all by yourself? No. It's not fun. One puzzle piece, you can't do anything with it. If you're a baby, you can chew on it, and that's pretty cool. But the rest of us are kind of thinking, I don't even know what the picture is, I think. Does anyone have an idea what the picture might be? Yep. It could be a firefighter. You don't think it's going to be a firefighter? Well, I have one here. If now that you said fire truck, I think it might be part of the fire ladder. Is a ladder of a fire truck any good without the rest of the fire truck? No. So what do you think is the most important part of the fire truck? The water. Is the water any good without the rest of the truck? No. Does anyone have another guess? What's the most important part of the truck? About the firefighter. Putting out the fires. How does a firefighter put out the fire? With water? And what does he need to get the water there? From a pipe. And they have to have a truck. And the truck has to have wheels. And the wheels have to have a ladder. And the ladder has to have somebody to work it. And the men have to have equipment. All of those things have to fit together just like a puzzle fits together. And that is what our church is. If you look out here, you see people that have white hair. You see people that have no hair. You see people that go to work at MCC Thrift Store and help people there. You see people that come to church and help hand out food to people that don't have food. We all have a job, and I don't think you could say any job is the most important job. Uncle Jeff leads singing. It's a very important job. But if you weren't there to sing, would his job be very fun or amazing? No. So we're all together in this. It's called unity. Can you remember that big word? Unity. And if you ever think that you are the most important thing, you need to remember that you are just one piece of a puzzle and that we all fit together to make it all work. So we're going to say a prayer, just a very short one, and then I actually have the back of the puzzle. Ha. So you can kind of see where your piece fits. And if we put all the pieces back, then we will have the whole fire truck with the firefighters on it, just like our church needs every one of you to do the job. Okay? So let's bow for prayer. Dear Father, help us to be one together so that the world can see your love in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once you've put your piece down, then Uncle Jeff, I think, wants to sing a song with you.
And Ingrid isn't calling me Uncle Jeff because I'm her uncle, just to be clear. I'm just going to wait for the kids. Do not go back to your parents yet after you put your pieces of the puzzle together. Just stay up here, please. Like them facing me. When they're done, I'll do a musical interlude. Because as we all know, the kids are a big part of our church, and they are one of the most important parts, or one of the most important pieces of that puzzle. So I think we can have a little bit of patience while they have a little bit of fun this morning. You might want to stand up, because you all know this song, and there's actions, and I expect everybody to hopefully remember them. Oh, everybody's going to stand. Yay. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you. You may go back to your parents.
Dear God, thank you for this day and the opportunity to gather in your name. It's good to be together again after our summer break, and we pray that we are suitably rejuvenated and ready to restart our church programs. While many of us are ready to start a new season, we know that not everyone is necessarily in a good place. Some of us are sick, some of us are grieving, and some of us are just too busy with other aspects of our life. Please be with us as we move forward. Heal us, comfort us, and help us to focus on what is important. Also, please be with us to act as your community. Encourage us to help each other and also to accept help when offered. As we look around the world, we also see opportunities for things to be better if only we acted as your community. What if we shared instead of hoarded? What if we helped people instead of ignoring their problems? What if we loved instead of fighting? Please help us and our leaders to see the benefits of living your way. It's often not obvious how to apply your teachings, but help us to think about what we need to do. Please be with us today as we listen to your word. Amen.
Somehow it holds me together. I realize I've been singing. Still it comes ringing clearer than clear. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise Him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Knowing make them holy. Knowing you can make them holy. I think how a yearning kept on returning to woo me down roads I'd never have chosen. Half the time frozen to them to be. I know it was stormy, hope it was for me a landing. Blood on the road wasn't my goal. Someone that I know has walked here before. Here by the water, I built an altar to praise him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise you. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Knowing you can make them holy. Knowing you can make them holy. Knowing you can make them holy.
Our scripture readings today, our first one is Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 4:32-35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
It is good to be gathered together again. Join me in a prayer as we prepare our hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I imagine you may have noticed the title that I gave to this sermon. The phrase, Lone Ranger, may conjure up various images for us. Depending on our age, right? Some of us For some of us, it may remind us of an old Western television show, The Lone Ranger, in which, and I never watched it, but in which the one surviving Texas Ranger joins up with his pal Tonto to fight outlaws in the American West. Ah. It may also remind some of the character in the more recent, and this one I remember, Red Green Show. Did you watch the Red Green Show? Yeah, there's some people who enjoyed it. Okay, it might remind you of Ranger Gord in that show. I think I remember the name correctly. Ranger Gord was depicted as a bumbling forest ranger, alone in his tower, day after day, looking out for forest fires. Now, I was reminded of that image this summer when Cheryl and I took a short hike at Park Point in Mesa Verde National Park in southwestern Colorado. At 8,572 feet of elevation, the highest point in the park, there stood an observation station where a park ranger watched vigilantly for evidence of forest fires. When we walked by the observation station, it struck me that this was a much more modern and comfortable looking place than that occupied by Ranger Gord in the Red Green Show. But there was still only one person in that station, and I wondered how lonesome and isolating that job would feel. The phrase Lone Ranger may also remind some of a certain kind of individual. The online Merriam-Webster dictionary defines a Lone Ranger as one who acts alone and without consultation or the approval of others. One who acts alone and without consultation or the approval of others. In connection with that definition, we may think of people who would call themselves Christians, but don't see the desirability of participating in a church. They would rather live out their Christian faith alone than in community. And it's that idea of a lone ranger that I want us to think about, especially today. I once wrote a fairly lengthy allegory called The Lone Ranger and the Wolf Pack, in which I featured a violent encounter between a lone ranger and a hungry wolf pack. The wolf pack won. And I use that allegory to suggest that Christians are better together in the church than they are by themselves. So I want to spend some time with you, and I'm not going to tell that allegory again. I looked at it and I thought, no, I probably wouldn't tell that allegory again. But I want to spend some time with you thinking about the Christian church as we find it, especially early in the book of Acts, as we think about the evidence of how the Christian church gathered together, how it functioned, and think about what is good about gathering together as a church. The idea of a group of followers of God meeting together for worship of God seems to predate the New Testament. As Jesus began his ministry, it was common for him to join the Jews who were gathered for worship of God and instruction in their synagogues. While people were gathering as faith communities in that time, Jesus himself used the word church only two times. He spoke of building his church on the back of his disciple Peter in Matthew 16:18, and he gave instructions about his followers dealing with offenses committed against them within the context of the church in Matthew chapter 18. With so little instruction from Jesus about being the church to guide his followers, it's interesting to see what happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came on the followers of Jesus with power. On Pentecost Sunday, we often focus, when we celebrate Pentecost Sunday in May or June, we often focus on the way that the Holy Spirit came. We recognize that the early followers were empowered to witness boldly of their faith in Jesus and to call others to follow Jesus. But Acts chapter 2 also contains some interesting details about the early church. On the day depicted in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter preached a powerful sermon in which he called people to repent and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Then they too would receive the Holy Spirit. Luke, the writer of Acts, tells us that 3,000 people accepted Peter's message in Jerusalem that day and were added to their number. Those are the exact words of Luke as translated in the New International Version. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, what happened next with those 3,000 people? We surely don't know everything that occurred as those 3,000 people became included into one body in Jerusalem. But in Acts chapter 2:42, the next verse, we hear that it begins with the word they, and it continues to describe what happened with that crowd of people in Jerusalem. Because the story earlier indicates that there were lots of people in Jerusalem that week who had come from other parts of the world, it may well be that not all 3,000 stayed in Jerusalem. I don't think so. I think they scattered and went back. But a large number must have been from Jerusalem, and the next verses describe those people. So, what did they do? Well, they were very together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, that had to have happened together. I don't think there was one-on-one teaching here. There were a handful of apostles and thousands of new followers of Jesus. I think we can bet that there were large gatherings of people where the apostles taught the new followers of Jesus about the things that Jesus had taught them. In a group, they were learning what it meant to be followers of Jesus. This point gets repeated in verse 46. Every day they met together in the temple courts. Their togetherness resulted in learning about their lives of faith. And then we read that they devoted themselves to fellowship. The following phrases seem to describe fellowship in the context of the early church. They ate together and they prayed together. This gets repeated as well in verse 46. They ate together in their homes. Now, some people rate eating together very highly, and others don't so much. While I think that eating together has value, I think that the eating here is less the point than that the followers of Jesus were sharing their lives with each other. While eating together, I expect they heard about each other's lives and they cared about each other. I imagine they also talked about their growing belief in Jesus and supported each other in that pursuit. The togetherness resulted in mutual care and support. Then we also read that they responded to each other's physical and material needs. They were together to such an extent that they were willing to sell off possessions so that they had money to give to the financially needy among them. In Acts chapter 4, the other passage in Acts that we read together this morning, this theme is repeated. The followers of Jesus in Jerusalem developed such an affinity with each other that they were willing to make their possessions less important to themselves than the financial need of others in their group. People demonstrated such generosity toward the needy that they sold off real estate and gave the money that they earned for the support of the financially needy. Their togetherness resulted in such deep care for each other that they willingly diminished their financial holdings in support of each other. Now, that overview of the togetherness of the early church in Jerusalem as it developed after the day of Pentecost covers the readings we did from the book of Acts. But I want to move a little further in the book of Acts, continuing our examination of the church together in Acts, we think of the problem the church confronted as described in Acts chapter 6. We've noted that the early church had a concern for the financially needy among them. In Acts chapter 6, we find that the leaders of the church are giving so much attention to the feeding of the widows among them that they run out of time to do the teaching that they think is important for them to do. And so they come to a solution. They're going to find some others who will take over the feeding work while they continue their teaching. But again, we notice the emphases of education and support in this gathering of the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. These emphases were not going to happen if the followers of Jesus all went and lived their lives in seclusion from each other. They needed to join together for the successful application of these emphases. As we continue to think about the church as people gathered together for worship, education, and support, we note a few interesting things in Acts chapters 9 through 11. At the end of Acts chapter 9, in one verse there, the church is described as one. At that point, the church functions essentially as one body within the geographical confines of Israel. In Acts chapter 11, persecution scatters the followers of Jesus further, and the Greeks in the regions of Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch also begin responding positively to the message of Jesus. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the gathering of people in Antioch is referred to as the church. From here on, we find groups of believers gathering together in multiple cities. The church, as a smaller, geographically defined body, has been born. As I suggested earlier, it is very interesting that the church developed as it did in the book of Acts without Jesus having given much specific teaching about the formation of a church. When the Holy Spirit came to empower the lives of the earlier followers of Jesus, the church seemed to develop instinctively. I'm sure that it was God's plan, however. I believe that these descriptions of the church in the book of Acts remind us of the goodness of the followers of Jesus grouping themselves together in churches. These followers of Jesus recognized the importance of worshiping God together, of learning about the message of Jesus together, of caring and supporting each other, and of witnessing together to their communities of the message of Jesus. These descriptions of the church in Acts are not prescriptive. They describe what the early church was like, but they don't tell us how we have to be the church together. They give us ideas about how to be together as the church, but they don't mean that we have to eat together every day or sell our possessions in support of each other in order to be the faithful church together. We did, however, read an important prescription from the letter to the Hebrews, as one of our scripture readings this morning too. There, the writer reminds the followers of Jesus to have confidence in drawing near to God and to hold on tenaciously to their hope in God. And then he writes, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." We have here a ringing call to the followers of Jesus to gather together. It makes sense that we do so in the form of the church. Whether it is the small house church, or the large mega church, or the more moderately sized community such as ours here, it is in the geographical church that we are most able to work together at care and support for each other, at teaching each other and learning from each other, and at developing joyful communal worship of God. That overview pushes us away from the idea of being lone rangers as followers of Jesus. One of the images of lone rangers that I considered in the introduction was that of the solitary forest ranger looking for forest fires. That image may remind us of Christians who think that getting together with other Christians is unnecessary, undesirable for them. We've likely all known people who said that they believe in Jesus but don't see the importance of participating in a church. And I believe that being alone as followers of Jesus makes the path of spiritual growth more difficult than it is when we're joined with others. I believe we need to see the benefit and the goodness of being together with others in our pursuit of becoming faithful followers of Jesus. You might recall that we thought also of lone rangers in the introduction to the sermon in relation to the definition given by Merriam-Webster. The lone ranger is one who acts alone and without consultation or the approval of others. There's something good about the person who is not swayed by groupthink, but there's also something dangerous about acting without consultation or the approval of others. My guess is that we can think of prominent people who might fit into that category. And there's something dangerous. We're likely to get things right more often when we consider them together as a group than when we work individually as lone rangers. Well, I wanted to use our time, our sermon time on this homecoming Sunday in September here at North Caledonian Mennonite Church to celebrate the goodness of being a faith community together. I wanted us to feel encouraged to continue to be a community of people pursuing the path of following Jesus together. I wanted us to sense the goodness of continuing to teach each other and learn from each other. I wanted us to say no to being lone rangers and to enthusiastically embrace the call to be the church together, gathering regularly to worship God, to learn about the path of following Jesus, and to supporting each other. May this day be an encouragement to leave behind Lone Ranger thinking in our pursuit of following Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious and generous God, we have observed today the early church in Acts. It was an impressive body of people beginning their journey of following you. We, almost 2,000 years later, are the heirs of that beginning. And we continue to gather as a church. May we be encouraged to live together in this church community, to care about each other, to learn from each other, and to teach each other. May we be your faithful church gathered here in this building in North Kildonan and Winnipeg. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need. Closer, Lord, I need
Please stand for the benediction. May the God who is community be with us as we seek to be a community. May God grant us the gift as an extraordinarily love that flows from our hearts. Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousand thousand swear. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousand thousand swear. Thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, thousands thou swear. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, thousands thou swear, thousands thou swear. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, the Spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen, come once again to me. I will draw near to you, I will draw near to you. There is one day, there is one.
Before we leave, we are going to sing Grace. There's a little bit of controversy, though, because some people want to... James tricked me by calling it 118, when 118 is actually 606. And I can't lead 606. I am sorry. I don't know. Can you maybe play? And then we can do 606? Because I think there's some folks here that would like to sing 606. And that's not something I can do on guitar, that's for sure.
So it's
118
in the blue?
118 in the blue, yeah. 118 in the blue hymnal and 606 in the brown hymnal.
Yeah. So 118, and of course, you're all welcome to join. The reason why we're singing Grace, of course, is because there's a meal prepared for us downstairs. 606 in the brown and 118 in the blue. Sorry.
Praise God from whom all
Amen.